This episode of Sessionable is brought to you by Dave's Travel and Events Group, voted Best Tour and Transport Operator in the New South Wales Tourism Awards. If you want to know why they're award-winning, why not check out one of their great beer experiences, like their Rocks Pub Walk, which is a historical walking tour with a twist, the twist being beer, of course. Walking tours are pretty awesome to begin with, and adding beer to the equation makes it awesomer, so it's really worth checking out. To book your tour today, go to daves.com.au.
Sessionable.
This is a post Ale Stars episode. We've had a few of those before. And we are joined by two guests. We have Doc, returning guest to the podcast. I think this puts you above pattern in the returning guests.
Suffering your jocks pattern. Yeah, yeah.
Constant race.
Yeah. And we have Tim from Mornington. Now, welcome to the podcast, Tim.
Yeah. Good evening, guys.
Hello.
What time of day it is that you're listening to this great podcast. How you doing?
Thanks yeah, pretty good. So we know who Doc is, but so what, Tim? What do you do at Mornington? What's your role?
So my current role at the moment is as a brewer at Mornington Peninsula Brewery down beautiful Mornington in the Mornington Peninsula. It speaks for itself. So what do you guys want to know? What do you want to know about my role or
how long have you been there? And have you always been like what you are doing right now?
Definitely not. So
I think you've got a pretty good origin story. I think the listeners would like to know that.
Origin stories are always fun.
Yeah. Should we do it?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a weird one. So pretty much my origin with Mornington Brewery was that I was working in a nursery of all places. Always thought that I wanted to work outside, work with my hands, and I was working, building a vineyard for about 4 weeks, and it was for that 4 weeks, it was in January, no, it was in December, sorry, and it was generally over 30 degrees, between 30 and 45 degrees every day, and I was coming home pretty knackered every day, and it was like the hardest work I've ever done by far, and that was fine, but it got to a point where I was getting paid $15 an hour to work like an absolute dog. And one day, coincidentally, I was driving a buggy along a short part of road, and I fell out of the buggy as I was driving it and started having a seizure, no joke, and convulsing on the side of the road. I was really lucky, actually, because the guy that I was working with who was in the passenger seat, his sister is an epileptic, and he knew what to do. So he pulled the tongue out of my mouth and put me on my side. And I woke up in the hospital at Frankston. Shout out to anyone from Frankston. Probably the arsehole of the earth. But
do they have a good vineyard?
It was pretty good when I left. Don't know what it's like now.
Didn't you build it?
We'll leave it at that, Doc. But pretty much after that incident, I went to Falls Festival with a mate. A big group of mates. The situation with the seizure was I was fine. It was completely out of the blue, completely random. And I took the opportunity, first time I've ever done it really, was to say to my boss at the time, look, mate, sorry, the doc said can't work here anymore. So thanks for having me, but see you later. And it was nice to get rid of that job because it was really hard work for really shit money. And not a very positive work environment. So went to a festival with a big bunch of mates the next week and had a case of beer or two with me.
Award-winning beer, wasn't it?
Sorry, mate?
Award-winning beer, wasn't
yeah,
it?
It actually was. I believe it was a bronze medalist in the Australian Lager category circa 2011 or 12. And you may or may not be familiar with it, Rivet Lager from the popular German food chain, supermarket chain Aldi. But pretty much I had a couple of cases of that, and there was a good friend of mine there who had some beers, and I said, hey man, what have you got there? Doing a bit of wheeling and dealing, and said, I'll swap you two of these for one of those, and cracked open the tinny that he had. Falls Festival is a can only event. Actually, I think it's no alcohol, but we snuck it all in.
Nice.
But at least we went environmentally responsible to get cans. But pretty much swapped two cans of my Rivet for one of his, which I didn't know at the time was Mornington Pale Ale, and cracked open the tinny. And it was, for me, I think everyone's who's into craft beer has had their little craft beer moment, or
The Epiphany beer,
which for a lot of people is, I would probably say, Little Creatures or Stone and Wood,
yeah.
Pacific Ale. But for me, it was Mornington Pale. And I kind of said, mate, what the hell's going on here? This isn't beer. And if it is, have I died and gone to heaven? and yeah, had one of those. And he said, look, man, like if you like it and you're interested in beer, why don't you come and cook some pizzas at the brewery because we've got a job going right now. And I went and cooked pizzas for a good while. And then after that, started managing our bar and learned a lot about craft beer and how it was brewed and about the beauty of what is the growing Australian craft beer scene. And then after that, I went and studied at Siebel Institute of Technology in Chicago and did a concise course in brewing technology online, which took 3 months.
Yeah, wow.
And that allowed me to do the Master Brewer program, which took 11 months. So I just got back from that in February, and now I have my Master Brewer certificate in brewing technology, which spans across Chicago and Munich. And yeah, I have a pretty good understanding of a lot of stuff with typically German beer, Bavarian beer, and I'm starting to really wrap my head around craft beer, which is something that I'm learning more and more every day from our head brewer, Christian Martin, who's the guru at Mornington for us at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my craft beer story. It's a bit of a weird one.
It's a good intro, as I think Doc was saying at Ale Stars today. It's maybe the best origin story we've heard at Ale Stars.
I've personally never met anyone that had like an Epiphany beer and then got told, oh, you want to work for us for the brewery
that makes
this beer that you just had?
But you have to start at the bottom cooking pizzas.
Yeah, but, you know, that's fine.
As I was saying to the people here that at Ale Stars tonight, if you're having a seizure, don't freak out. Just let it happen. Just ride that wave.
Yeah.
You never know it. Before you know it, you'll be exactly where you need to be in life. And, yeah.
Carpe seize the day. It was the joke there. Yeah,
that's a little bit too cliche for this time of night. But
I think it's just enough cliche for this time of night.
Probably.
We had some really really cool beers. I'm drinking the Russian Imperial Stout at the moment, which was my highlight of the night. I think there were, for most people, there were two highlights in the night. I think we had the Russian Imperial Stout and the Vin Ale White.
Well, I'll go with the Vin Ale. And what stood out for me for this beer initially was the carbonation. And it's the fineness of the bubbles, the cleanliness of the beer itself, but just the way the whole beer actually handles itself. The balance is amazing.
So, Tim, the Vin Ale, Mornington have done a couple of Vin Ales. What's this Vin Ale White that we're talking about?
So the Vin Ale is a weird series of beers that, you know, everyone claims to be doing weird beers in the craft beer industry, but this is actually a weird beer
because it's
actually not a beer. In its entirety, it's also 50% fermented wine juice. So in that, in itself, it's a whole new beast. So when you take on a challenge like this, which was our old head brewer's, one of his little babies that he conjured up. The beauty of a co-fermented beer is that you do get a lot more than just wort that's been fermented. And this has the complexity of wine mixed with the complexity of wort that's been fermented. So with this particular beer, which Doc's sipping on right now, it is a 50% Belgian Golden Strong, 50% Pink Muscat grapes, which was originally going to be used for a non-alcoholic beverage for a local winery, Montalto, down on the Mornington Peninsula, which is probably one of the more prominent, interesting, well-recognized wineries in our region. And it in itself has a huge amount of character, but when you blend it with their Belgian Golden Strong, which we brewed at Watt Road at our smaller of the two facilities that we're brewing out of, and then you ferment it together with a Trappist yeast.
Yeah, okay.
And then also barrel age it for 9 months in ex Barossa Chardonnay barrels. You end up with a beer slash wine that is more complex than we can ever imagine.
There's so much going on in there. Yeah. And Doc was saying he loves the carbonation. For me, I love all of those things that you just mentioned, the Moscato juice, the Belgian Golden, the Trappist yeast, the Chardonnay barrels. They're all there. They're all present. But they all meld together just so well. Like it becomes one complex beast, and it's also that classic, the sum is more than the whole is more than the sum of its parts.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like it's got so much more going on than you'd think. Yeah. Just describing those elements, but also all those elements are there and are contributing. And
the head is almost like a mousse more than a head, because it's just tight, consistent, and it goes all the way. It's almost like a meringue on top of
the... Doc's been sitting in that beer for a while, and it's just still got this tight.
So there's head. Only been a couple of other beers of similar elk that sort of stand out to me. Beer de Borgo do one every year. Mm. They do one called Chaos.
Yeah.
And they do it in a couple of different formats, again, with a particular style of or varietal of grapes and everything else. And there's a dark and a light version, and they are, that's something you can serve up to someone that says they don't like beer, and they'll just like, this is awesome. Yeah. This is the best beverage I've ever had. And it's like, well, it's beer, but it is co-blended, and it'll blow their minds. Yeasty Boys did one probably about 5 years ago as well. They took a bunch of wine from
some young punks.
And they made a candy sugar out of it, and then did a blend of the candy sugars with the beers with the winemaker as well. And that's probably the only two correlations that I have for this beverage.
I think the other one for me is it's interesting doing the Vin Al White, and on tap at the moment here at the Tap House we've got the Mayday Hills Grape Wild, which is Sangiovese grapes with a sort of their golden Brett ale that they do with their fooder.
But it's not grapes and barley comparison, right? So one's
it's not the same.
One's a young
Well, it's not co-fermented.
Food-based beverage, and the other ones are aged, blended, and everything else.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying they're the same, but it's interesting to me having both of them on tap side by side and seeing what is different about them.
It's the same kind of experimentation.
Yeah, it's still trying to play in that mix of beer and wine space.
Going back to the look of Doc's beer, and the thing that he seems to be pretty soaked on is the foam on it.
Well, that it's got that tight head, and it has that whole time. Yeah.
And one of the kind of things for me personally, going from drinking Australian beers a lot of the time to going over and studying in Germany, was that if you were to pour a beer, or if you were to be served a beer and it didn't have any foam on it, the majority of the time that beer would be sent back in Germany. And that is something that us as Aussies, or wherever you guys are listening, is probably not much of a priority at this stage, but the vessel for aroma is foam. Whether you like it or not, it is so critical for a beer to have foam on it for you to really get the complexity of the aroma of it. And I think that this beer particularly has something in it which is rather unusual, which is 11% carapils. And I was talking to Christian a lot when I was away about foam, and we both agreed that we both bloody love it because it's the best. And I've slowly but surely crept it into our lager up to about 5%. And we've noticed that significant improvements in our foam retention and formation.
Yeah.
And coming from a brewer's perspective and having the aroma profile come through to the final product, and have it served the way that you want it to be served, is massive for us. And the carapils is a vessel for that.
Yep.
And in a beer like this, Doc has obviously been pretty stoked on the way it's presenting, and it's got probably too much carapils, but probably the exact right amount at the same time. 11% is pretty high, but he seems to be pretty stoked with it. What do you reckon, mate?
Absolutely. It's So carafoam, carapils, is, and even maybe a little bit of wheat.
Yeah, so this been, also has wheat in it as well.
Has always been sort of the additives in most of my beers. Most of my beers have wheat in them for a number of different reasons.
You've done 100% wheat beers as well.
I've done 100% wheat beers, yeah, absolutely.
That sounds like a watery nightmare.
No, it was. We did a double brew day in 9 hours. It was awesome.
Mash filters have their purpose.
Yeah, that explains
It does two things. One is it gives a fantastic visual to the beer, but it also does, like you say, carry the beer as well. So one of the things I'm really subconsciously always looking at is what the beer looks like. And I think we talked about this a little bit offline earlier tonight about, you know, thoughts on NEIPAs and things like that. It may not have been directly with you guys, but I think a few of us were at an event at the weekend, and I looked at a number of the beers that were on offer, and I just didn't even want to drink them. I was just like, they weren't appetizing whatsoever, just on the visual. They didn't have a head. They were cloudy as hell. Some of them I could actually smell across the bar in a semi-positive way, but you know, part of actually producing beverages is something that looks visually appealing, something that resonates with something that you've had positive experiences with before, and something you actually want to drink and you'll drink again. And that's a massive part of it.
Well, I think with the mainstream drinkers in Australia, they are used to some head whenever they get poured a beer. So whenever they come to a craft beer bar and they get, you know, minimal head on a beer, they go, "What the hell's going on?" You know, it's not even about what the beer tastes like. It's just how it's presented.
And the lacing it produces as you drink through the beer. Absolutely. Based on the glass.
Yeah. And I think it's also important to note that not all of that is...
Oh, and some of it is cleanliness of
exactly.
The,
not all of that is what the brewer's doing. It can be. It's very often attributable to
the venue, itself.
But yeah, it's... it's a really good looking beer, that Vinale.
Halfway through, it's still holding a tight foam on top, and it's super tasty.
Which I'll use as a bit of a segue to what I'm drinking, to the Russian Imperial Stout, which was the other highlight of the night, I think. This is this year's vintage, the 2018. It's not holding as tight a head as the Vinale, but it is still, you know, presenting beautifully, and the head when it's there is just a beautiful dark, you know, as you want from a Russian Imperial Stout. It's roasty. It's got everything going on. Tell us a bit about this beer.
It's probably my most consistently favorite beer from Mornington. You can't not love this beer. There's a lot of stouts on the market, particularly Russian Imperial Stouts. And I'm more critical of Mornington beers than a lot of people because I work there. But this is a beer that really, generally, year to year, comes out really quite well. And we're so proud of it. It's a beer that has been designed by AG, our old head brewer, Andrew Gower, and it's been meticulously designed and it's always been worked on. This year's batch has been altered as well, and it always will be, to be made better.
Yeah.
That's the thing about Mornington is we're never satisfied with good enough. We're always working on how to make the beers better and how to make them more drinkable, more approachable, but also the most refined beer that we can make them. So this beer particularly, which will be available definitely all up the East Coast and particularly all around Victoria and in a lot of retailers across the country, is a beer that is different in a sense that it has quite an interesting hop component to it, which is utilizing Amarillo, the quite popular American variety of hop, as the primary aroma hop for it. It has a Magnum edition as well. But I think probably the main distinct character of this beer is that it has a 2.5 hour boil. So a regular boil for a typical blonde beer per se would be 60 minutes. When you boil, you do massive amount of things. One of them is to actually pasteurize the beer, or the wort at that stage, to volatilize, DMS, get over 100 degrees and remove the dimethyl sulfide. The third thing would be to actually precipitate proteins And another thing would be to concentrate the wort. So when you concentrate the wort at 100 degrees for 2.5 hours, you go from having a pretty significant amount of water to a very, very low amount of water in that beer. So the beauty of a 2.5 hour boil is that you really, really reduce the concentration of water down to pretty damn low amount, and you have a really, really nice, thick, viscous, rich, dense product. It's ready for fermentation. The yeast cells themselves are in for a battle after that point, but at that stage, you've got the beginnings of a really, really beautiful stout. I don't know if I should have told you guys the secrets to Moynton's Imperial Stout, but you know it now.
If you decide, we can edit that out.
Yeah, we're starting Sessionable Brewing Company tomorrow.
with our Russian Imperial Stout.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
9.5%.
Yeah, you're out of business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming. But this is a stout that's to be savoured. It is the base beer for our OPS series, this second year of that, which is going to be a Tennessee whiskey barrel, is being released currently.
And we all had a bit of a little taste of that earlier, and it is phenomenal. I loved last year's which was red wine barrels.
Yeah, that was Shiraz barrels.
Shiraz barrels, yep. And this year is just even
the Tennessee whiskey, Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels, yeah. Big, really, really dry, but not too dry.
Yeah. We've obviously put a lot of work into the Russian Imperial Stout, and then to put it into a barrel is a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm.
The artisanal series, which we're constantly working out at the moment, which is essentially a barrel aged series, but it goes a little bit further, is trying to be every really high quality beer that we produce taken to another level. So at the moment, there's only a select few beers that get put into that series, but we want to keep it. We want to maintain it as being top-notch, high-quality beer with another level on top. So whether that be extra dry hopping, a barrel assistance, souring, long-term souring, it's literally just trying to be the best beer that we can produce that has a whole nother frontier added onto it. So yeah. Hopefully this is okay to be released on the air. But we will be releasing, hopefully around Christmas time, a long-term sour project.
Ooh.
With three different strains of Brettanomyces in it.
Yeah.
It is what I would say is a mock Flanders Red, but most likely will be better than a lot of typical Flanders Red, which is a massive call.
That's huge call.
But that is
blended or unblended?
That is. Yeah. So this is unblended, and it is kettle soured, but it has a beautiful secret element, which is local sour Red Hill cherries.
I thought you were going to say secret ingredient, which I'm not going to say. No. You just gave it up.
Yeah, so. But we were lucky enough to have, in Mornington, we have Red Hill, which is a massive cherry producer. Just down the road, it's about a 10-minute drive, and they gave us 200 kilos of sour cherries at the back end of their season. So awesome. We filled an IBC with 5 different barrels worth of kettle soured red ale, which at that point has been in barrel for a significant amount of time, with 3 different strands of bread in it. And already, before I was working at as soon as I got back, essentially, I was practically smashing out specialty beers for the boys up in New South Wales and Queensland and Victoria to push out a lot of Mornington specialty beers. And that was my main job when I got home. But now I'm producing the core range a bit more with our other main brewer, Benny, and while Christian's giving us the orders. But I go around to Watt Road pretty much every day and have a beer, check everything, see how it's going. And we have the big just over 1,000 liter IBC of our sour red going, and it has a little tiny little airlock in the top of it, and every day I usually go home on my way and I have a little sniff of it and I'll tell you what, boys, it's tasting, it's smelling unreal.
Is there a pellicle?
At the moment there is not, but there will be a pellicle very soon. The thing that we've noticed is that we put the 200 kilos of cherries in the base of the IBC, and then we transferred the 1,000 or so liters of beer at that stage on top of it, And we're noticing that all the cherries went from the bottom to the top as the liquid has started to swell the fruit. Yeah. And then because of the acidity of the beer, we will see the fruit itself, the flesh, before Christmas, break down into almost nothing. We will probably retain pips, but there will be almost no flesh by Christmas time. And we will gain a huge amount of acidity and complex characters and also potential yeasts. Actually, if it's been frozen, I would bloody hope there wouldn't be any other yeast. But there will be a huge amount of complex character that comes from those cherries that is going to be retained in the beer. I'm not going to tell you what that beer is going to be named. It's going to be one of our artisanal series, but it's something to definitely look forward to coming from Mornington.
So, Tech Bell, you mentioned IBC a couple of times.
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
It's basically just a huge... if you've ever been driving along the road in cattle country or, you know, any country, you're probably seeing a big plastic drum covered with a steel cage. It's basically... It's basically a vessel for about 1,000 litres of liquid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
One thing we didn't talk about tonight at Alestars was the farm and those sort of beers. I got gifted one of those a couple of months ago, and I cracked it a couple of weeks ago when watching rugby or something like that. And it was quite a change from what we've seen from Mornington Peninsula, both in terms of branding, labeling, packaging, everything else. Yeah. What can you tell us about that?
So the farm is the brainchild of our head brewer, Christian Martin. And this is a beer that is probably the most elegant beer that I think we've ever produced. And it is also a wild beer as well. So this is a Brett fermented Saison. But Christian is probably the guy that is taking Mornington from being very hot forward, which is definitely AG's dominance in the brewery for so long, and he has a very, very good understanding of hop driven beers and a real skill in delivering very, very high quality IPAs. And Christian is, I think, one of the leading guys in Victoria, if not Australia, in terms of brewing sour beer, modern sour beers that we call it, mixed fermentation, mixed culture beers. And he, to me, has been a real massive influence in delivering beers to me in forms of homebrew that he's done. And I was lucky enough to probably taste the farm about 3 years ago before it was ever even commissioned to be done at a commercial scale. And he's played around with a lot of Brett. He's played around with a lot of Saisons, and he's pretty much put the two together. Given it to Matt, who's the founder and owner, or I'd say one of the main owners of the brewery. And Matt has grown to really love Saison as a style. And when you throw Brett in the mix, you get another level of complexity.
So I noticed with the beer, it had different layers of complexity, everything else. The oak actually came through. Initially, it was pretty subtle. And then it came through a little bit more dominant as the beer warmed up and as you got into it, which was good. It didn't overpower it, but it was definitely there. It felt like it maybe it was like, you know, new oak or first generation oak or whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe through additional years of the program, then that's going to give more complexity and everything else. Is that true, or
that perception is very accurate. So that the thing is, we're using pretty brand new barrels. Essentially, they're not fresh barrels from the cooper, but they are young barrels, and that is what allows us to display huge amounts of oak character in particularly the farm. It's something that we're looking for in these kind of beers, is having a dominant oak character to layer upon Brettanomyces character. The farm to me is probably the exemplification of the transition between AG and Christian. This is a beer that speaks for itself. And when you smell it, you get a beautiful overripe pineapple character, which you can only get from very, very well looked after Brettanomyces. And this beer, hopefully next year, will come out similar, if not more complex. But at the moment, it is exactly what Christian intended it to be and exactly what a lot of people want it to be.
So right now we're drinking...
The Farm. Yeah, the Farm. Exactly what we're talking about, yeah.
And wow.
It is an incredible... is it like when you hear Brett Saison, I think you expect one thing, and I mean, Brett is such a fun beast to play with, and it's always different, but you know, you expect something, and this is not what I expected. Mm. Just from reading that description, but and hearing you talk about it, but it is awesome. That pineapple character comes through, which I love from Brett, and it doesn't come through all the time, but when it does, it's great. And this is just, really tasty. That's exactly good. What I need right now as well. It's a good,
it's refreshing, it's cleansing, it's, what is it, 7.1%? Yeah, 7.1%. This is the modern version of a table beer.
This is what you were talking about earlier, Doc, table beer,
Absolutely. But also the whole packaging, branding, everything else doesn't really translate to... other Mornington styles.
I totally agree.
But I love it though.
I think it's trying to go for that kind of Saison feel in it now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's like it's its own thing. So my question is more about one of the co-founders who was or probably still is an artistic director. Is this still his doing?
Are you talking about Rod Attenborough?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Rod is the guy... it's been really good for us in terms of our marketing for a long time. But going forward, we've noticed that with the artisanal range, he has been really helpful in us designing, or not so much designing, but dictating what would be best for the brewery. This particular range of beers, which is the artisanal series, has been sourced out to a variety of different local artists to design labels. And basically what we're trying to do, it's a little bit cliche, but it doesn't 100% fit with the series that is artisanal, but is what we were trying to do was actually get local waves from the Mornington Peninsula, barreling waves, so proper, actually decently sized waves.
I like that. That's a cool. Yeah. That's a cool.
So he's still a part of the business, so obviously. He's still got license and leadership and
definitely
everything else.
We have,
but he's basically outsourcing some of it.
Collaborate.
Yeah. Because when you look at the Mornington branding across the... the cans, core range, the historic cans, the IPA, the Imperial series, some of the fun ones like the ones with cows and a few
the Squid Rising.
We might get to some of that shortly.
It's definitely
there's not a lot of there's not what you call it a common thread through a lot of that. Yeah. They all have their niche. Even from your website, when you're looking for the beers, they're categorized into series or collections or everything else as well. So I'm not really sure what my question is, but are each of those series or collections done by different people or?
Yeah. So what we're finding is that the weirder we get with the beers, or probably the further away from clean beers we get, is the more interesting we're trying to design the labels. And the further we're drifting away from the traditional accepted and recognized styles per se that Australians are drinking, we need to actually market them in a way that is going to impact the drinkers that we're looking to aim at. So this beer is not an easy sell for the general market. But this beer is a very, very easy sell for people that are really into their beer, because this combines two worlds. It combines wild as we know it at the moment, which is Brettanomyces influenced beer mixed with Saison, which is traditional Western European brewing. So this label in itself has one of the probably most beautiful waves on the Mornington Peninsula, which is this crazy right-hand point break. Which is my favorite wave to surf on the whole peninsula. It's in a really quiet spot, which you have to know to go to. And it has a nice little, what would you guys call that? It's a light purple swing top, I reckon, that says Brettanomyces fermented on it. So it's different. The beer's different. And I think it'll be rude to the core range to be presenting any of those beers the same way as what we're presenting these, because we have to expect that these beers are so different, and we want the consumers to know they're different. But when it comes down to it, they are exactly like our core beers. They are brewed and treated with the highest of respect all the way through the process. But this one probably has a bit more funk in it. And that's exactly what we want to do, is bring beers to the market which are going to be appeasing people from all different stages of their craft beer journey.
I always love it when a brewery that, like Mornington, Mornington's been on the scene as long as I can remember, doing, you know, really nice beers. But it's great when you see, like, an established name do something different, do something new, and explore a different space in the industry. Because the industry's growing, and it's always fun to see those kind of established names grow with it.
I think that's a good note to take a break on.
I think so.
And then we'll get on to
come back with some recommendations, yeah.
Sessionable.
The Hunter Valley is well known for its wine, but did you know that there's a growing beer scene there as well? A great way to check out the awesome beer and breweries in the Hunter Valley is to get on a brewery tour. Fortunately, Dave's Travel and Events Group offers such a tour. On their appropriately named Hop Hunter Tour, you'll visit breweries new and old and find out why the Hunter Valley is not just about wine. To book your tour today, check out daves.com.au.
So this is a beer that probably will not get released for at least 8 to 12 months. And we had an interesting day at the brewery one time. And this is when I was actually studying overseas. So the only thing I've done is actually inoculate these barrels. But pretty much the story with the beer was that we were brewing lager this particular day and the power went out. So what we decided to do was get one of the local winemakers to bring in some dry ice, and we cooled the wort down incredibly quickly, which stops the formation of SMM into DMS. So that allowed us to have wort sitting in the kettle overnight. And then after that, we did not want to send it out as Mornington Lager. So what happened was it got actually put into 10 different barrels and then inoculated with a variety of different bacteria and a variety of different Brettanomyces strains and fermented with USO5, Old Faithful at Mornington. So
Old Faithful everywhere, right?
At the moment, we have 10 barrels that have chalked up on them NPS. You guys can do the math on that, but pretty much it's no power sour. So if this beer comes out good, we might have ourselves one of the best stories.
It's a very good story.
That's a really good story anyway.
In brewing.
I think every brewery with any tenure has a story like that.
Mm. So I think it's time to do recommendations.
Yeah, on that note.
We'll do beer recommendations first, I think.
Sure.
Who wants to start?
I'll start. I have one.
Okay.
So I got a bit of a throwback one. Ages ago, we used to get a lot of Moo Brew in New South Wales and probably a lot of other states in Australia.
Mm-hmm. I think I know where you're going with this.
Very kind of common beer to find. And then for a long time...
Dropped back
quite
a bit.
Yeah, we just couldn't find it for a while. And I just recently had... Like, they've been back in New South Wales and probably other states recently. I had the Moo Brew Dark Ale, and it is still as good as I remember it.
It's Moo Brew Dark Ale. I agree. I had it recently. And
yeah.
I had that, and I had the whole range recently.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Pilsner's good as well. The Stout's good as well. But
do you know what?
The Moo Brew Dark Ale is so fucking good.
There was one I preferred to the Dark Ale.
Which?
I mean, knowing me.
Yeah.
It was the Hefeweizen. I love the Hef. It was just a really good Hef.
Yeah, I know.
I had it at the same time. I think the same night as I had the Dark, and I was like, "Fuck, a good Aussie Hef." There's not a whole lot of them at the moment, but I was a big fan of that, and the Dark Ale was tasting great as well.
Yeah, is that your recommendation or
no? It's not actually. Yours? All right, so mine is we had it on tap here recently. In fact, I just ran out of it today. New England Brewing Co. Malt and Beans Coffee Stout, and it was just gorgeous. Like, oof, just the perfect amount of coffee, nice stout, not too big. I think it was like 5.6, but not too heavy, not too strong, but you know, it was what a coffee stout should be, a beautiful marriage of coffee and stout, perfect elements of both. I was really happy with it, and it sold really, really quickly here at the pub. I did not expect it to go that quickly. Really big fan of that, and if you can find that, I'm sure they'll be canning it. The can looks really cool. They did it with a local coffee roaster in New England around Urala, and
yeah, awesome.
Really, really nice beer. Yeah, just one of those beers that wowed me where I did not expect it to.
Doc?
What's your beer recommendation, Doc?
My beer recommendation, by the time you're listening to this, it will probably only be available in packaged form rather than on draft. But this Friday, we're releasing in New South Wales the 2018 Dr. Shidlove.
Hey!
Hey!
It was released in Adelaide last week, midweek. And if you can judge by social media, it's been extremely well received. It's the fourth and final release in the Imperial Root Vegetable Stout series.
Final, you're not doing any more.
Collaboration between Doctor's Orders and Big Shed Brewing, or the other way around, depending on who's talking. It is the final. It's not the final in collaborations between, or annual collaborations between Big Shed and Doctor's Orders. But it is in the series.
So no, we more did root vegetables.
The first year we did sweet potato. Yeah. The second year we did yam and taro. Last year we did carrots. This year is parsnip and beetroot.
Ooh.
And it's still,
can you just run out of root vegetables?
It's still, or an imperial stout. Yeah. This year it's a magenta stout.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
You've gone for my two favorites. So yeah. I'm looking forward to that one.
They are good ones.
Yeah.
So the reason that's the end of it is peeling root vegetables, dealing with root vegetables.
You've got to give it
we're
up sometime.
We're a little bit done on that. We are also running out of root vegetables. Yeah. We're scraping the bottom of the barrel to do a fifth year. So we're working out what we'll do next year when we get on the booze around the Sydney Craft Beer Week, which is when normally we come up with these crazy ideas and what the next one's going to be. So,
awesome.
So Dr. Shedlove 2018 Imperial Magenta Stout.
Awesome.
All right, Tim, what beer would you like to recommend, or beer related thing?
All right, I'm going to throw it back to a beer which is a little bit more traditional, because we're all talking about some pretty gnarly,
yep,
innovative craft beers. And it actually came up in conversations tonight, and it kind of refreshed my memory of it. It's the Schneiderweiss Aventinus Doppelbock.
Mate,
how much did you pay Tim to recommend this?
We haven't actually spoken about this. I'll show you this.
Have you got a love affair with that beer as well?
Schneiderweiss.
It's one of Tom's favorite beers.
So okay. I carry around with me everywhere I go. I got a Schneiderweiss bottle opener. You know,
what are you doing after this?
Hopefully drinking some Schneiderweiss.
But pretty much that is probably one of my favorite German beers. It's a Doppelbock. It is a 51% minimum wheat bill beer. And I don't know if it gets much better for me personally than that beer.
I'd agree with you on that.
It sits above 18 degrees Plato. It is like a banana bomb mixed with a chocolate bomb. Pretty much if you've ever had...
And dark fruits like raisins.
Yeah. It is actually a really, really good beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite traditional Bavarian beers. And, you know, everyone kind of turns their nose up in the craft beer scene a little bit sometimes on traditional beers. But
if it's Schneiderweiss, I'm not turning my nose up.
Yeah, this is one of the beers that will make you go, holy cow, there's a lot going on. That's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
That we should really be looking at.
In the early days of my home brewing career, you could get that beer in Sydney, and I'd have to send it to people interstate because they couldn't get it.
Yeah.
When I was living in Germany, I was one town over from where Schneiderweiss was, and I drank a lot of it. So,
and all you got was the keyring, right?
Basically. But like, I love this keyring. I mean, it's a bottle opener keyring,
and a lot of hangovers. Right?
I mean, yes and no. I count Schneiderweiss as one of my favorite breweries in the world. I think, like, hands down,
without a doubt.
Yeah.
Non-beer.
Yeah.
So my one is, and apologies in advance, it's a very Sydney-specific one, but today I saw I went to see the Archibald Prize exhibit.
Oh, yeah. I was going to go, and then I realized I was working all day.
So I would recommend people going to that. So Archibald Prize is the portrait competition.
The wind's always very good as well.
At the Argara in New South Wales. And the win prize for the landscape landscape art thing is really good as well.
I always prefer it to the Archibald.
I actually... So the winner... I didn't even know it was the winner when I saw it, but I fucking loved it to death. But the winner of the win prize this year is fucking amazing. So go see the Archibald. And it's the Archibald is really good. Like, yeah, there's some fucking good pieces there. But the winner of the win prize is just absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
And it has the Solomon Prize as well, which is a bit more kind of abstract kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Entire recommendation, do not go to the modern art exhibit on the bottom floor. It's literally just solid colours on canvas.
I mean, that's... I'd probably
that is
enjoy that.
Yeah. No, I fucking hate it. But yeah.
Sounds
so,
pretty modern to me.
Yeah. Go see the Archibald Prize and the Win Prize and the Solomon Prize. All the same ticket.
Yeah.
It's worth it. And go see the permanent exhibits as well.
Yeah, Art Gallery New South
Wales.
At the Art Gallery of New South Wales.
It's fucking
gallery.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right, mine is a bit less highbrow. It's a video game.
This is weird.
Yeah, this is
my recommendation being more highbrow than yours.
Mine's anyway, a video game. It's a bit of an older game, but I'm revisiting now. It's The Last of Us. I'm playing the remastered version on the PS4. Just a beautiful narrative shooter, basically, in a post-apocalyptic world. And
never played it.
It's gorgeous. It's a beautiful game. The story's amazing. And the sequel's coming out soon, so that's why I'm sort of revisiting it now.
There were a lot of like E3 announcements that made you go, "Oh, I want to play the original."
The original,
game.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm doing.
Yeah, awesome, Doc.
Mine is a 360 tech gadget, a 360 photo, video, all things sort of gadget. I'm going on holidays with my kids and family in a couple of weeks, and. Yep. We always threatened that when they were old enough to ride all the rides at Disneyland, we would take them. They're about to start their last years of high school. So so we decided we better do it before all their holidays will be taken up with studying for, you know, passing the incumbent tests to do whatever they want to do.
Yep.
So I got a 360 degree camera and I've been trialing it in a couple of beer events the last few weeks, trying to work out how I can make it work and do what I need to do with it. And it's working amazing. I've bought the brand is Insta360. The model I've got is an Insta360 One. It's got a piece in the end that you can plug into an iPhone through the universal connector in the bottom. But you can put it on a tripod or anything else. Put it on a selfie stick, take a photo, Bluetooth connection. You take a photo, it'll automatically, in software, actually take out the selfie stick. So it doesn't even appear in the photo.
Oh, how good is that?
It's full 360. It's pretty crazy. It's like for $270-odd, it's a bit of a no-brainer if you want to do some crazy stuff. If you want to go on roller coaster, do Tiny Planet stuff. It's pretty amazing. No endorsements, no whatever. It just works.
I was just going to say props for getting a picture of Lee in one of your 360 photos.
I've got more if you need them.
Yeah, so give us that and we'll put it in the Instagram.
I've even got when I went back through the footage from last Saturday's event, I've actually got one. I've got one of them crouching, trying to get out of the photos. Yeah.
I saw that. It's
I
so
love
good.
That. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. I think our listeners would love that.
Yeah.
Except for Lee.
Lee, the producer. Who's
yeah, but Lee doesn't
tonight.
Listen.
He's not producing.
Tim, what's your non-beer rec?
Do you have room for two?
Sure.
Yeah, do it.
One's a half one. So I've got one which is genuine and... At the moment in Australia, there's a big dark shadow cast upon Tiger Airways as a flight courier.
Yeah.
And you know what? probably fair enough, but today I flew with them and they were really good.
Do you want to recommend Optus Sport as well?
Yeah. Easy does it. Yeah. This isn't a charity case, mate.
Rebranded as SBS On Demand?
Yeah. But, you know, I literally have heard so many bad things about Tiger and I was kind of like, fuck it, let's just see how it goes. It might be a bit of fun. see what happens. But actually, it went incredibly smoothly.
Yeah.
So, first recommendation is try something that you know you shouldn't be trying.
Yeah. Go out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And transitioning into my second thing is, if your underwear are ever dirty, just turn them inside out.
it's a pro tip. The Uniqlo underwear ever gets dirty.
The only part that's dirty is the inside. Yeah. So I learned that from my housemate, my best mate, Josh. And it turns out you can fit a lot of underwear with use into 2 weeks that you never thought you could. So
there you go. And then you turn them upside down and it's like another. So you got 4 ways, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So pretty much we don't have a lot to do in Mornington. So.
Brewer's life.
So on that note,
Tim, where can we find you and or Mornington on social media, whatever?
So you can follow MP Brewery at MP Brewery on Instagram, MP Brewery.
Awesome. Yeah.
And Instagram, Mornington Brewery, obviously, pretty simple.
Yeah.
There's a huge amount that we're putting on social media at the moment. It's probably the best platform for a lot of people that are interested in their craft beer at this stage, because we're all pretty social media addicted, and that's fine for the moment. So we'll keep rolling with that. But yeah, keep looking at what we're doing on our social media platforms. If you want to see what's coming up, you can follow me as well, at TIMMYLADS, Timmy Lads. if you want to see what Mornington's going to be doing in about 2 months' time,
that's the place to go.
This is the secret to it.
Get on it, lads.
Is that the Twitter handle?
No one's told me to stop posting all the secret stuff we're doing yet. So I'll keep rolling with it until I get told off.
Doc, where can people find you on the socials? At DRS.
The brewery one is Doctor's Orders Brewing, but because of the character limit,
it's Doctor's Orders Brewing.
DRS, as in Doctor's Orders Brewing without the G on the end.
Yeah. Brewing.
So Doctor's Orders Brewing.
The Resort is Brewing.
My personal, which is a bit more sort of techy and other commentary things, is Darren J. Robinson. Darren J. Robinson, yeah.
Awesome. And around Sydney, for the Mornington stuff, you can, on tap, we always pretty much have Mornington on tap here at the Tap House, and I know other bars around, like the Albert and Bitterfew, often go through a bunch of stuff. And off-prem, you can get, I think, Beer Cartel and Online Booze Bud, good places to get Mornington. Sessionable, you can find us at
Sessionable Pod.
It's Sessionable Pod.
On Facebook, Sessionable Podcast on Instagram. Everything's on sessionable.net.
Yep.
If you forget any of that,
you can always find us on iTunes or any podcast app you use. We'd love to get your ratings on the iTunes or the Apple Podcast store.
Please rate and review us. It helps people find us.
That's really important to us. So and tell your friends about Sessionable if you like what we do, and also let us know via the various methods we just said, that you listen to us, and any questions and blah blah blah.
Cool.
We'd love to hear you.
Alrighty.
Cheers, guys.